going to the hurry-up offense.
Snap to Rodgers, waits, looking. Now moves to his right, racing to his right. Rodgers throws late over the middle of the end zone. Touchdown, Randall Cobb! Oh, my goodness, what a throw by Aaron Rodgers.
Ran out of the shotgun, fires it over the middle, intercepted by Berry. He's at the 25. Eric Berry from Atlanta at the 15, the innovative 10, 5, touchdown, Kansas City.
Matthew leans in. He's got it. Back to pass. Pressure comes. Sets goes right. Got a man wide open. It's Golden inside the 35. Golden cut left at the 30. It's a foot race. 20. Golden 10. Golden 5. Golden to the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Added up 66 yards.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program, presented as always by McDonald's All Day Breakfast. Go get you some morning, noon, or night. It's a good choice and it'll fill your belly up real nice like. Hey, in Studio 66, in a matter of moments, Joe Buck, play-by-play man extraordinaire, of course, for Fox and the author of a brand-new book. We're going to dig in on that in a little bit. Look forward to talking with him. Maybe he can give one of our guys here in Studio 66 some critiques on working in a play-by-play booth. Maurice Jones-Drew, of course, the radio voice of the Rams, is here, and also our main man from Total Access. You see him on now, being a big star. Are there number 2-4 from the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ike Taylor. Let's jump into it. The hurry up, fellas. We'll say proper hellos in a second here. The more impactful injury on the respective teams and, of course, the Super Bowl chase. To me, the two favorites a month ago, clear cut, were the Patriots and the Seahawks. Now, though, no Rob Gronkowski in New England, no Earl Thomas in Seattle. Maurice, I'll start with you. Which injury is more devastating?
I'm going to go with Earl Thomas. Seattle wins because of their defense. And so when you don't have a guy that can run sideline to sideline, hash to hash, and cover those seams in that cover three, it just doesn't work. If you remember watching the Patriots versus Seahawks game, who made that big hit on Gronkowski? Who was there to help Cam Chancellor, who was beaten? It was Earl Thomas because he has the speed. When you don't have a guy back there that can do what Earl can do, that whole cover three is just going to be, out the way. So you want to talk about a Jenga piece on a defense?
Mm-hmm.
That's Earl Thomas.
Yeah, the Jenga theory, as I always say, is in the 21st century, of course, you're going to lose some pieces like a Jenga tower from your team as the season goes on. But if you remove the wrong piece, the whole thing can implode. I always say Rob Gronkowski, you take him away, that Patriots team is going to suffer. I think they're in some legitimate trouble. Ike Taylor, how say you?
I disagree. I got to go with Earl Thomas. I mean, the Patriots, they've still won games without Gronk. Now, points-wise, and you're going to look at the yards and all the statistics, but they still know how to win games. Earl Thomas is a traffic control guy. He reminds me of Orion Clark, who sat back there, made sure everybody was lined up right. He's your quarterback on defense. He calls the call. He sees the formation. He lines everybody up. So when you got a guy who played 108 games and only missed one and playing 107, he's very durable. So everybody's looking in the back to checking to see what Earl is talking about. Everybody's waiting on Earl. Earl is relaying a message to Wagner. Now the roles might have to change. Wagner might have to make the calls now. But when you lose a guy like Earl Thomas, we talk about Cam Chancellor being an enforcer. We talk about the shutdown corner on Sherman. We rarely talk about Earl Thomas. I think from this point on, we will see how important Earl Thomas is to that defense.
I was going to say real quick, you said something, that call, that different voice that you hear, it's completely different. When you change a quarterback and the cadence is different, guys jump off sides. That call that Earl may make 2 seconds faster than the guy behind him, that could be a touchdown or not. And so that's the difference. That's the big issue there.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, and you remember early in 2015, remember when the Legion of Boom was arguing amongst themselves and they were literally pointing fingers when Cam Newton threw the game-winning touchdown pass to Greg Olsen? This is in 2015, of course, not this week's Sunday Night Football game. And, yeah, you remove Earl Thomas. I see that. But don't you think actually, Ike, that's a good point, that Earl Thomas is a constant back there, whereas Gronkowski is a very, it seems, week to week for the Patriots, whether he's going to be out there. But don't you think that you mentioned Wagner and Chancellor and Michael Bennett and Cliff, those guys have all been there at least. That's got to be something, right?
You let your linebackers play. See, your linebackers got a short tunnel. They can only see so much. You got a guy in the back, man. He can see. He can scan the whole field. He can even see the substitutions coming from the sideline. So he can already decipher, having his mind, hey, man, this is ace formation. Ace meaning two tight ends, two receivers, and a running back. So he can see that. So he can already – he can predetermine what the DC is going to say anyway. So he's going on giving the heads up to Wagner. Wagner might not see what's going on the other sideline. He might can't detect that. But when you have a guy back there who's been playing for so long and gets everybody right on that backfield, don't forget, if all you got to do is look at the salaries. He got the high salary back there. And it's a reason why that young man got a high salary back there. That's how important that free safety is, man. It's the total quarterback. And when you lose a guy like Earl Thomas, yeah, we talk about, oh, you can just feel. No, you can't just feel that free safety. Same thing as a quarterback. You just can't feel a second-string quarterback in. That's not how it works. Earl Thomas, like you say, is the jingle piece, but the most important piece to that Legion of Boom.
Fascinating, and you know, I do think it's fair to assume that Tom Brady, Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick can cook up a different path to the Super Bowl. I do think they were predicated on having those two tight ends in there, like we talked about way back in August, and this is going to hurt the way they wanted to go at it.
They want him getting Bennett,
yeah,
who's not Gronk, but he's very athletic. But now their running backs are getting healthy now.
Oh my God!
So now you got a scat back. And Lewis and Blunt is probably having his best career of himself with the rushing yards and touchdowns. That's going to be the ultimate mismatch. They don't mind letting these running backs go one-on-one with these linebackers, and we will see that a lot in the playoffs.
They put out James White and Deion Lewis multiple times in the game. Now, who are you going to cover? And then to watching Deion Lewis cut, he's back. I'm watching that firsthand. Like, oh my goodness! Oh, they have some weapons now. And like, granted, Gronk is a better run blocker than I think people give him. But Bennett is he's a receiver. He can't make the run after the catch, but he'll go up and get it.
Right.
I just think again, like, they still have pieces there that can make plays. Yeah, they still have guys that can go.
They got pieces.
Earl Thomas, after the injury during the game, tweets out, I'm thinking about everything, including retirement. Did you ever, in a game, think to yourself, well, I didn't like the way I just got hit there. I'm thinking of retiring. and then Richard Sherman said, well, everybody thinks about retiring just about every game. Is that true?
No, when you have a certain injury, your mind, because injuries, it's mental. It's all mental, trying to get over it. Injuries are lonely. When you get injured and have surgery, and you could test this, it's lonely. There ain't nobody there to help you. It's just you and that thing. Maybe your kids may come by and say hello, but you're not the same person.
You still got to go through it.
You still got to go through that whole process.
No Jaguars are like, well, he's our franchise, Maurice.
I broke my foot. I was by myself. I mean, this is what it was. And I knew that going in because that's how I was taught in high school. Like, when you get hurt, you're to the wayside. When you come back, we'll deal with you then. But once you get hurt, you're by yourself. It's lonely. And Earl's an emotional player, very emotional. I mean, you see him yelling and hopping up and jumping and talking. So when he's down bad. It's not like he's a roller coaster. He's up here high, playing, and then he'll go all the way down. And so it's kind of how it goes.
Now, the big story from this game of last Sunday night was Cam Newton, the reigning MVP of the NFL, didn't wear a tie, so his coach sat him down. What do you make of that, Ike Taylor?
I said it's bigger than this.
It's got to be, right? There's got to be some sort. Because Cam Newton ate this way too easily. So, he didn't argue about it or anything.
So, obviously, he's sticking up for Cam for something he's did. Because Cam rarely wears a tie. Cam might wear a bow tie. But from everything else, man, we can't wait to Cam get on the podium to see his dress code.
Oh, can't wait.
To see what he's doing. And I know just from looking at Cam from the past 2 years, he don't wear ties away or home games. So I'm like, either you done pissed off coach or he's really taking up for you. I just don't agree with just sitting him. That's what I don't agree with. Like, we're grown men. You don't sit me. You find me. You find me. You can find me whatever you want to find me, and I'm going to be cool with that. But you can't sit me down. There's no point in you sitting me down.
I'm the face of the franchise,
and
coach. You don't sit me down.
You see what happened when they sat him down. They got a pick real quick.
It's bigger than that, though. I think first of all, I'm an adult. Right? This isn't college. It's not high school. We're coworkers in this thing. We all have a job to do. Now, if I don't do things right and you're my manager, you find me. Right, the head coach, that's what you are. You're a general manager of the team. You got to make sure everybody's going the right direction. You find me contract detrimental, take my whole check. But I have to be on that field to help you win because that's all that matters at the end of the day. When you try to run it like a college, that's when you start to lose your team. Find them.
But I don't know. Maybe this would be rash, but if I were Cam Newton, I'm, you know, there is, with a couple of possible exceptions, he is the face of the NFL. He's certainly the face of the Carolina Panthers. I would legitimately have to consider saying to ownership, all right, you want me or do you want Ron Rivera? Because I'm not putting up with that.
I'm going to tell you why he won't do that. Because he, like you said, he ate it.
Well, he
so
must
he
have
did.
Done
he
something.
Did something.
I know. I don't think like, it's about a tie.
I've been on a team where we had a guy. We traveled. We left early from the East Coast to the West Coast, and he literally didn't come to his room. Like 2 days in a row, he just stayed somewhere else. And the coach was like, "I can't have this, man. Like, what are you doing?" And the player was, you know. And I talked to the player. I'm like, "I get it, but I know what you're doing. But I need you in this room because I need you on Sunday." And now,
was there a receiver?
He was.
I know you talking.
I know you know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
He's an animal.
Yeah.
He's an animal.
He was out of control. Yeah, and you know, part of what happens is when when that thing, you have to lay the law down because you don't, you know. So what Coach Del Rio did, he was like, "Look, contra detrimental, and you know, I'm taking your whole game check." But then he didn't play him, and then we end up losing bad. And part of it is because he didn't play. And I'm like, "Coach, you can't don't hurt us." For what he did,
hurt his pockets,
and then let us keep going.
Mm-mm. No, I'm writing down names.
Let me see the name, and I'll tell you. No.
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 Was this guy a first-round draft pick?
Nope.
No.
No.
I don't want to ruin anything. That's when Maurice just – he allows us to peek ever so slightly behind the curtain. That's not about
little,
this.
Get you a little glimpse.
Yeah, we don't need to know the name. It's a good anecdote.
He shows your leg.
By the way, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Make sure you watch the NFL Pick'em show on Saturday. You get three chances to do it on NFL Network. And I suggested there, and I'm going to suggest it again now. If Cam Newton wants to show up Ron Rivera, he should wear, because Phil Rivers is paying him a visit in Carolina, so he should wear not just a tie, but a bolo tie. That would be a fun message there. All right. Any issues, Ike? I'm going to turn to you with this one. In Heinz Field, are perhaps the two best wide receivers. I guess all due respect to Dez and to Julio Jones and the rest. But Odell Beckham and Antonio Brown, best of chums, apparently. Mm-hmm. We see video or whatever on social media of them hanging out at AB's place the night before the game. Then on the field before they're embracing, before the game. Then during the game, AB makes a great catch. Odell Beckham smiling and laughing. Then after the game, the jersey swap. What do you think about all this? Like, where do you draw the line if you do draw one?
I mean, at the same position, you don't have to draw the line.
Mm-mm.
If he's going against a corner, then I'm going to go ahead and put this line in the dirt. And if you cross it, it's a wrap. But between Antonio Brown and OBJ, man, them guys just they're very competitive.
Mm-hmm.
They work super hard. They're superstars in the NFL. They can't go nowhere without somebody knowing who they are. And when you have a friendship like that and you got one goal, and what's the one goal? That's being the best receiver in the NFL. Both of those guys are the best receiver on their team, let alone one of the best receivers in the NFL. So you can have that kind of friendship because it's the same position.
But it's, first of all, to fans. Let me just say, first of all, from mm-hmm. fans, we don't like it. It's weird.
No. What it does matter.
You can't say it doesn't matter. It does matter, Maurice.
What you like is that OBJ Josh Norman matchup. That's from a fan perspective, that's what you like. Well, I'm sorry. That's what you love. So it's cool for you to love that and dislike this. If I'm a player and I'm still playing, he disliked that? Because I'm cool. If I'm cool with Revis, why are you mad? Because I'm cool with Revis. Now, if Antonio Brown ain't cool with Revis, now they're going to give us something to talk about.
Do it on your own time. Don't do it on the football field. This is where you say you can't go anywhere in your private life, but it's because of the deeds in your public life, which is between the white lines. Just do that on your own time. Don't do it
position.
Out there on the field. That's
at the
all.
Same position.
I'll say this. This offseason, Antonio Brown was out here training, right, in L.A. Well, guess who came out and trained with him? Odell Beckham flew out for a couple weeks, and he trained with him. Those guys have a relationship. I have the same relationship with Matt Forte, and I remember Jaguar fans that got upset we had lost to Chicago, and after the game, I literally went and grabbed my son and was like, "Do you look at Uncle Matt?" And we're smiling and talking. And he's hugging my son, and people are like, "Why are you guys?" It's listen, for those 4 hours, I don't like him, and that's fine. But once the game is over, we go on vacations together. We hang out. My kids know his kids. That's what it comes down to. Regardless of what it was, they hang out. I mean, you've gone to dinner with people before the game. I mean, that's what you do. Like, if you have a homeboy, somebody you went to college with or whatever it may be, you go out. I mean, I remember Kansas City. I had a coach take me out to dinner in Kansas City. Came and picked me up. A coach.
Yeah, I know you.
From the other team.
Yeah, your guy.
Came and got me.
Same. We just had Mr. Joe Buck. Or Mr. Joe Buck is coming. That's just like when Mr. Joe Buck come, man, we just act a certain way. So you can't tell me that as an analyst and a broadcaster. And we're in the same playing field. So you mean to tell me what you're going to tell Mr. Joe Buck?
Because we fans are watching you guys run into each other, and we presume that
Them two aren't running into each other.
They're the same position. That's what I said. They're the same position, they're allowed.
And they're the exact same person. That's the crazy part about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, one is a little different, you know, but they still – both those guys, they celebrate the same, they dance, they always smile, they're always having a good time, they're both explosive, and they've changed the game of receiver like nobody's business.
I agree, and I would be honestly a lot more raw about this whole thing if the Giants would have beaten the Steelers, but at least the Steelers won.
I'll tell you this, if it was Sean Davis and Odell Beckham doing that, then I'd be pissed off.
Oh, yeah. But
So it's the position that where you draw corners, the line. That's the answer, I guess.
The only guy I was cool with was Steve Smith Sr. That was the only guy I was cool with. And I go,
Did you do the jersey swap?
What? No. Nope.
Exactly.
No, we'll give a shout out. We'll give a shout out. I'll go dap him up, see what he's doing for the game. But once that whistle blow, I turned into somebody totally different. He turned into somebody totally different. And it's like, dang, I just saw them dudes dab each other off. Why are they trying to take their hands off each other?
I play TJ Ward. That's my family. That's my mans. Got his jersey and everything out in the offseason. But when we played each other, I was trying to hurt him. Just flat out. Because I'm not going to let you go back home and tell people how you got me. That's not what's going to happen.
That one up.
No. And every time, he might have got me one time, and I wasn't looking. He kind of caught me, and I jumped me out of bounds a little bit. I said, that's your one. and you missed it. That was your one chance. Now when I see
I'm looking for you.
Every time I get the ball, I'm going for you. I don't care about anybody else. I don't see any. I'm right for you. And that's somebody that I played with high school, Papa Warner, all the way up to the league with. And you're right. Like, during the tape, I don't care who you are. I love you. And that's why I have to do this to you.
I don't want to do this. I have to do
it. Love is hard. And I love hard.
Start the show. Nothing I like better than the stories of your playing day. Maurice has a funny delivery about those things. Like, well, that's your one now. Now I got to hurt you now. Now I got to get you now.
That's what it was, man. I tell you what.
Hi and hello. And again, welcome to the DDFP, again presented by McDonald's All-Day Breakfast. Go get you some of that. Joe Buck coming up. Let's jump right into it here. The guy who I already said, watch him on NFL Now doing Fashion Popo, Celebration Station. Ooh. IQs, very
that's
funny
becoming
stuff.
Popular.
Yeah. It is. Well, it's great. Yeah. And also on Total Access, I saw you on Monday. You were great.
Thank you. Every Monday night after the game,
you're dynamite. An emerging star in the world of football broadcasting. Here he is, number 2-4, Ike Taylor.
Remix. Oh, with the re-re.
Born in Gretna, it's in New Orleans.
They remixed you.
Whoa.
They remixed you.
I like that.
Bootsy Collins on the bass there. What happened there?
Man, I like that right there, man.
That was nice.
That's that.
Also, he is in the play-by-play booth on the radio for the LA Rams. Of course, the Jacksonville Jaguars and Oakland Raiders are also near and dear to his heart. It's Maurice Jones-Drew.
Straight out of Oakland, that's where he's born and grown. Drafted by the Jaguar, addicted to the end zone. Now he's on with Damashek, yeah, that's his new home. So call him Maurice, we all call him MJD. MJD.
The Jaguar had a chain on. I didn't even know he put the chain on him and everything. He was rocking.
Rest him.
The one-man house band, Dick Banks, outdoing himself with the high note there.
He did his thing.
is the end zone.
Sexy.
That's it. I was wondering how he was going to say sexy. I was wondering.
Very nice. A football baby went 3-1 this past week. The only loss was the Ravens, but he did predict the Lions would go in and knock off New Orleans. He also went to Mexico City. He went to Lambeau. Keep it coming. He is Flat Stanley for the 21st century. All you have to do is go to @Damashek, pinned at the top of my account there, is a PDF of Football Baby. You can print them out or just hold up your cell phone. Keep them coming. And now let's get right to it. The thrill of victory. Agony of defeat.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
We do it after every weekend of pro football. Oh, what I started to say earlier was make sure through the regular season, make sure you're checking out me and Maurice Jones-Drew, Adam Rank, and Aaron Coscarelli, Fantasy and Friends. We continue to focus on the fantasy, of course, but we have also transitioned into a more expansive conversation about football, real football, as the playoffs draw near. So we're breaking it down in the X's and O's, as Maurice does, and we're talking about whole teams there. So check that out. Speaking of talking about whole teams, best wins, there are several candidates here. I'm going to go with the team I just mentioned there that Football Baby picked, the Detroit Lions, because they were in first place, but I think a lot of people were looking at them and waiting, all right, they're going to lose at New Orleans and they'll come back down to earth. Instead, they go in there and they whip them pretty convincingly. Is that the best win of the week, Ike?
Yeah, I agree. And I was looking down, I was saying the same thing. Just going into New Orleans, man, you know it's already hard to play in the dome. You know, Mr. Sean Payton, Coach Sean Payton, and Drew Brees, it's a tough cookie to come out with the win in New Orleans, but they did. The Lions found the way. And we keep looking for a bad Matthew Stafford, and he's not looking bad at all.
He's growing. Clutch, if nothing else.
Yeah, he's growing every week. They're finding ways to win. Yeah, it might be ugly, but they're still finding ways. Everybody's getting the ball now, from Marv to Tate. Even from their running back coming out and
scanning. Eric Ebron's coming on.
Everybody's getting the ball. He's scanning the field.
You just don't need to have this thing about we need a number one wide receiver. Teams that go deep in the playoffs just consistently don't. I mean, some teams do, but I mean, it's not a requirement if you want to make a playoff run that you have some high end wide receiver.
I feel like I'm throwing the ball to whoever's open.
Whoever's open.
I don't know which name is, but if you're open, I'm giving you the ball. Just be ready.
For me, I think it's, you know, it wasn't as big of a surprise because they're a dome team playing in a dome. Right now, it's tougher for a team that's not playing the dome to deal with that type of lighting and things like that. But Stafford, they find a way to win. I mean, that's just one of the things they've done over the, you know, the defense comes up with a big play. Now, what I was surprised about was that defense slowing down that Saints offense. That was surprising. Yeah. Not offensively, because everyone scores on the Saints defense, but to slow down that offense was crazy. But for me, it's gonna sound like a homer, but the Raiders scoring 29 unanswered to beat the Bills. I mean, it looked like the Bills had that
49 at halftime.
I thought the game was over. The way they were running the ball, and LeSady McCoy and Gillislee and Tyrod Taylor, they're all running the ball all over the place, and then you just score 29 unanswered?
What does that do mentally? Because it seems to me that from the outside looking in, if especially a relatively young team like the Raiders are, is it you know, you have a philosophy, but there aren't that many teams that play in the 21st century with a certain, like, this is who we are. You know, that goes back to my days growing up in Pittsburgh, that it was always about, like, Steeler football is this. You know, it's a tough defense and run the ball and all that. It seems like the successful teams are fluid, which is to say that one week we got to shoot it out to win, we'll do that. The next week we're going to just grind you on the ground. You know, different styles. And the Raiders, if you think about the way they've won games, the last three games they've played, they run the ball all over Denver, the great defense. They just ground them all day. Then they get up huge on the Panthers. Then the Panthers rally on them. Doesn't matter. We pull it out. Then they're way down to the Bills. They come back and pull out.
They remind me of the Patriots.
Mentally, they must be.
That's how the Patriots are. However you want it, they can give it to you. Now, the only one thing, though, I'd like you to answer this, is defensively. I mean, they're giving up early in games. They're giving it all up.
I got you. So this how you look at the Raiders. It all started that first game when you came from the West Coast to down south in New Orleans. And instead of going for one to tie it up, you go for two.
Right.
That set the tempo to the whole season. Like, what we did in training camp, well, we went for two. And I get in the game and I'm a coach Jack now. I'm like, coach, what about that 2-point play we did in training camp? You want to go for it? Nah, I really don't have too much confidence in this offense right now. Let's go for the field goal and hopefully we can win it in overtime. No, he went for two. Now, on the flip side, just off the football field, Klay Thompson had a hell of a night last night in basketball, 60 points. Guess who was on the front line with this quarterback? So Derek Carr brought his whole offensive line to that game. That's a memory for them guys forever. And Klay went off and hit 60. So now it's like, you know what? That's for sure extra blocking for this dude because, man, we were here and we witnessed this in Oakland.
Yeah.
In Oakland, Klay Thompson went off, and Derek Carr can be the kind of guy who can have the scene all to himself. If you just watched the game last night and they took pictures, so it was Derek Carr, the offensive line, and Klay Thompson. That says a lot. That's chemistry. On the defensive side, situational football. Them boys always making plays when they need to. Strip, sack, fumble. Fumble for a touchdown. Interception. It looks ugly through the games, but when they need a play, they always figure it out and find a play on the defense for the Raiders.
That really does matter because I got in an argument with somebody. I always say Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback I've ever seen. Oh, it was Cynthia Freeland on the podcast, and she said the difference between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers is Brady is beloved in the locker room by all
his
teammates.
Beloved.
That matters.
I remember I won the rushing title in 2011. I didn't know much about, like, Fred taught me, like, you have to take care of your guys when they block for you because they don't get enough love. So I used to tell guys, like, look, you know, if we do something big, I'm going to go get you. I'm going to go spend some money on you, right? Right.
I want you guys to keep telling this story, but in anticipation of things, I got to go make water.
Right. Okay, cool. I got you.
You guys keep talking. You guys talk thrill of victory, agony, and defeat. I'll be
so
right.
I ended up getting them dudes, all them Gucci watches. The one you have, remember? But all diamond out.
Yeah.
The next year, I held out the next year. Right? Yeah. They was like, hey, do your thing, bro. Because we know. We know at the end of the day, if we do our job, we're going to get something just nice like that. And I think that's what it comes down to, man.
Same way with the defensive line. You know, taking your defensive lineman out. Just sitting back down the corner, your Casey Hamptons. Even if it's just going out for dinner.
Right.
Like, I got this one. And every time we go out, I got this one. Like, bro, what you doing paying for the meal? Because without y'all boys getting that pressure up there, I'm not who I am.
Right.
So I got you. So just showing love to the big uglies, as we would like to call them, man.
You have
means
to do
a lot
it.
To them.
Who got the worst loss, Ike?
The worst loss?
The worst loss.
Oh, the Falcons.
By far. There was nothing. The Falcons, they were in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And you said it earlier in the show, Matt Ryan – went back to Matty Ice. He went back to the dude we knew. We went to school with this cat, man. You play so well, and then all of a sudden, two pick sixes, and one goes for two, though.
Yeah, you wind up throwing the wrong one at the wrong time. Shout out to Eric Berry because
yes.
He had a heck of a game. But when you throw a pick two on this one, the one that Eric
to
Berry
end the scored, game.
To end the game, it hurts. It hurts. Why not run the ball? You can still run the ball. You got Eric Berry sitting. He got a hot hand right
man.
Now. But this Kansas City Chiefs, man, they're just finding, like y'all was saying last week, they're finding a way to win, and they're clicking on all cylinders, special teams, offense, and defense. It's just for Matty Ice. They're a better team than last year,
right?
But they're still making the same mistakes as last year.
And their schedule's a little bit easier, but Matt Ryan, to me, I just feel like you were running the ball well. Julio Jones was getting double-teamed. Continue to do that. What they try to do is they try to force – make Matty Ice something he's not. He's not elite. That's not what he is. He is a very serviceable game manager. And let it be that. Stop trying to force him to be something he's not, because that's what he does to you. When he throws the ball, like I really believe that every quarterback has a throwing count, a pitch count.
Right.
Right? Too much exposure, then people start hitting home runs and pitch counts, right? Same thing for quarterbacks. Too much exposure, you start throwing picks, they start knowing where you want to go. He's still a 20 to 22 throw guy a game. That's it. When you get a 25 and 30,
it's the issue.
He going to throw you.
Now, every blue moon, he might have a game, but they say the clock strike right once or twice.
A broken clock, yeah.
I'm back,
I said
by
that
the way.
All wrong.
I made my water. I couldn't do it. I don't want to ruin Studio 66 by just letting go here. This ain't
Sometimes
the football.
You got to do what you got to do.
Joe Buck, who's going to join. I don't know why. I appreciate it, but I don't know why we're celebrating.
Why not?
Number one. Yeah, you know, the Falcons, you know, I want to point this out, too. I like that the football gods, this was sort of like a market correction or like balance in the football universe. Remember, the Falcons, so that's a bad one. They lose on the two-point conversion, but of course they shouldn't be too upset because the Saints, their division foe, also lost that way to Denver. So it was, and that was an AFC West team visiting an NFC South team. So the market corrected itself there.
It has
to. Point
conversion.
Yeah. it all evens out. I'll go with the Dolphins. I mean, it's one thing to lose to Baltimore, but they got whipped.
But it is, it's a loss at the end of the day.
What and the 49ers scoring 6 points against the Chicago Bears?
Hey, we keep talking about this guy and they keep firing him. John Fox started that defense over there for the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. John Fox started a nice defense for the Carolina Panthers. He's starting to have his input on this cover two defensive line
for
Chicago.
My God.
Like, people keep sleeping on Coach John Fox. He's very well
rounded. Yeah, if they get healthy.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. He's very well rounded when it comes down to this defense. He just keep getting the short end of the stick.
Well, he doesn't have his guard. You know, think about if they could teams, like we always talk about, are the injuries. But, I mean, really, the decimation of this Bears team is rare, how many guys have been lost there. I wonder if they'll get Romo or somebody like that next
Leave
year.
Leave Romo home.
Let him go.
Romo won't play golf in all season. Just
all right, Jimmy Garoppolo. Golf. How about that?
That's a good pick.
All right.
Think that'd they'd make a winning team there?
No, but I think that's a good pick, though.
What happens? I want to talk about the Jets' crummy secondary, and Ike's going to XO that for us in a second here. What, real quick, why do teams, it seems like in week 13, the Panthers, the Jets, and even the Dolphins, it just seems like they went out there. They quit before the end of the first quarter. What is there something about this time of the year where you suddenly get some mental fatigue or something that you just lay down in a game that you
Panthers
think is lost?
Really quit. I just think that they just got outplayed. Like that was just an outplan. Those guys were still chasing and running after the ball, but I caught the back half of that 41-3 game. That was just, you know, you're a professional. And that's one thing that kills me. Like, I'm getting paid to do a job, regardless of what the score is or not. I'm getting paid to do a service. And every time, if we were down by 100 or we were up by 100, I played the same. I mean, I'm seeing guys lay down, just get blocked. Like, what you fail to realize, people are watching this tape. And you will be a free agent one day. And when you become a free agent, that's the one tape they're going to go back to. How'd you play when things were down?
We call it laying down. You know, you don't want to lay down during the season, let alone put that on your resume. So if you just watch Coach Ty Bowles' post-podium interview, he was hot. He was hot. And the reason why he was hot and he kept saying was, man, I want to find guys who want to play. And it's sad when your head coach have to say that. And I think the reason why he was really mad, because we talk about the Jets, they have top five rushing defense. And when you have a top five rushing defense, it says a lot about the personality of that team. You can pass on this all day. We get it. It's a finesse league. It's made for the quarterback. Cool. But you're not going to run the ball on us. You're not going to control the clock. You're not going to go mano for mano with us. That's what they did to the Jets last night, and they're not known for that. The Colts ain't known for running the ball.
I know, yeah.
When you think about the Colts, you just think about Andrew Luck, him getting sacked, him throwing the ball all over the place, T.Y. doing this thing. But when you have a Frank Gore who did have 79 yards rushing, but as a team total, they had 139 yards rushing, it hurts. So you can just see Coach Ty Bowles on the sideline going clean off. That's what you don't want. And a lot of guys, when they get paid, football isn't important to them after they get paid. So they weren't about the offseason. They weren't about the Miamis, the Calis, the Brazils, the Canadas.
The visas.
They weren't about their passport.
Canada? That was a good, interesting group of cities you listed.
They weren't about their passport getting tatted.
Not Montreal. Here, Montreal is the destination,
and it shouldn't be like that. So I feel for Coach Ty Bowles, and when you don't have a quarterback.
That was the thing that killed me. I'm watching part of this game, and he's just throwing the ball, and the cover's not even tripping. Like, for me, that's the one thing that I can't play. Look, you can be bad. You can be a bad player. I get it. But as long as you try hard and you show some effort and you show that you care, but as soon as you throw the ball in the coverage and you just take it to the sideline, you chill, I might have to put my hands on you. Because I'm serious. Because we put in 70 hours a week, if not more, to prepare for these 4 hours, and you're going to go out here and lay down like this?
Let me know it means something to you.
Or tell me beforehand so I can be like, Coach, he's not ready.
See, that we connect on. Fans, that's the
worst thing you can do.
Fans don't want anything to do with that. It's no wonder the stadium's half empty, and no wonder. If that's the way the team's going to play, why would I bother with my Monday night? All right, let's get to it. Ike, your escape goat of the week is the aforementioned one. Number two, Matt Ryan.
Yeah, Matty Ice, man. It's just I'm not going to put it all on Matty Ice. I think we're just trying to make Matty Ice something that he's not. And that's an elite quarterback. He's a good, sound quarterback. MJD said it best, man. Some quarterbacks just have a pitch count. And when you have a pitch count, just leave it like that. Now, he's going to – earlier, when he was throwing 400 yards in the beginning of the season and them guys were on the road, it looked good. But, again, teams just catch up with you. And what helped you from you being an okay team last year to a pretty good team this year is your running game. So you get a healthy Coleman back this year, he's balling. You get Devontae Freeman, you know, he's balling. But you don't want to lean on him too. You want to lean on Matty Ice. And just looking at it from afar and now being in the media, it's like these OCs have their own agenda.
Yeah, you don't have – you don't even have a dominant defense, so you want to spin the clock. Look at what the Dallas Cowboys are doing. There it is, your escape goat of the week. Matt Ryan wears it for Ike Taylor. All right, coming into the studio in just a second. Here he comes now, a guy who, very nice fella, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, Ike and Maurice. I wanted to get you guys together with him because he, like you guys, is a funny fella. And also, I got to tell you this before he walks in here. He once in Philadelphia, you know, I continue to be a nobody, but 5 years ago, I'm a nobody as well, walking through the bowels of the Eagle Stadium. And Joe Buck walks by us, and I say to whoever I'm with, I'm like, that's Joe Buck right there. And then I hear somebody call my name out, hey, Dave Damashek, and I turn around, it's Joe Buck. And he said, hey, I just wanted to say hello to you. I've seen your work and so on and so forth. And, you know, that's rare kindness from a guy who doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have to do that. He's much, you know, he's a million times bigger than me. He doesn't have to stop me to say hello and be nice and everything
else
like that.
For sure he
gets
paid. I'm telling you.
I bet you is. Let's ask him how much money he makes. That'll be our first question.
I would like to know. I wouldn't be nosy.
Here he comes, everybody. Joe Buck.
Roethlisberger, end zone, pass is caught. Touchdown, Antonio Brown.
There you hear the voice of one Joe Buck, the voice of so many iconic moments.
In the Berg.
In the Berg. Dude, you seen Antonio Brown. Them Giants can't cover that, dude. Nobody can cover that, dude. It's Joe Buck, author among many other things that he's doing out there. Calling NFL football. You heard him on the World Series. Lucky bastard. My life, my dad, and the things I'm not allowed
to
say.
See, that's why it's called Lucky Bastard. That's the reaction it gets.
I like it.
Look, there's a picture if you're watching us right now. NFL.com/podcast is how you do that. Reminder, a picture of Joe Buck with a finger raised there. How are you, Joe Buck?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
A pleasure for you to come in here. And of course, we'll start out with where I started out at NFL Media 5 or 6 years ago. Michelle Beisner, you're keeping your surname.
My wife?
You're going to keep Buck.
I am. I was thinking about going Joe Buck Beisner.
Right.
But she went with Michelle Beisner Buck.
Very 21st century of you.
LBB.
Yeah. You know, I'm down with MBB.
We have a lot of ground to cover here and not a ton of time to do it. Maurice Jones-Drew, as you know, Joe Buck, now the radio voice or the analyst for the Los Angeles Rams, will pick your brain for some critiques, some advice.
I need some tips, man.
Yeah. I already like your style. I like your gig. You can have some fun. You have some fun. Liven it up. I mean, if they can't score a touchdown, lie. How about that? Just say that they scored a touchdown.
I can't even laugh at this. I'm contractually obligated not to smile.
Oh, I know.
Any Rams
all of a sudden,
all.
You'll be in a canoe with Eric Dickerson rowing down a river somewhere.
I refuse to do it. I got too many kids.
Before we jump in on the football and everything else, the World Series, how did that strike you? I know you're not allowed, but it feels like a 20th century sort of thing that you couldn't have a rooting interest as a sports guy, you know, right. As somebody who talks about sports. In the 21st century, it seems like there's a little more wiggle room to wear it on your sleeve. Clearly, I don't hide the fact that I like teams that wear black and gold. But you're, you know, associated with St. Louis Cardinals. What was it like being there for the Cubs?
Highlight of my career.
Was it?
And I'm not ashamed or I don't think I'm wrong saying that. When you think about, they hadn't been in the World Series since the end of World War II, and they hadn't won it since before the Titanic went down. It was historic, and generations had come and gone and not seen any of that. And to be the first guy on TV to witness that and call them as world champions was a thrill. I mean, here's the difference, you know. You're there for the Rams, and I'm only teasing you, but good for you and good for the Rams to hire you, but you're there as the voice of the Ram fan. I'm there as the national voice for Fox. So when I'm doing that highlight of the Antonio Brown touchdown, I'm kind of trying to play it down the middle. If I'm the Steelers guy, I'm pulling a groin calling that touchdown because it's an important moment in the game. But as the national guy, you have to kind of keep it down the middle. Therefore, no side thinks that you're rooting with them, which makes it –
mercenary.
I'm a man with no country.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed this World Series. It was fun. And being a part of that, you know, is I'm smart enough to know that was history.
Well, on both sides, with the tribe. And
no doubt.
You know, it was great for both fan bases there. I'm sure you've answered this a million times, answered for the million and first. Did you conjure your line for the Cubs getting it, or was it
no.
Spur of the moment?
I think you have to do spur of the moment. I think, you know, anytime you wake up and you dream of some magical line that you're going to say about the history of the Cubs and the lovable losers no more and all that stuff. Most of the time, you don't have the time to do that. And you can't imagine how the game is going to end. It ended in the 10th inning, rain falling down, slick field, Chris Bryant sliding as he throws it to first. You just have to call it, say what the heck happened, and get out of there.
I love that you have I don't know if this is something that you've studied or how you got to this place. Is that a decision you made somewhere down the line that the way it strikes me, at least, is that you go the Pat Summerall less is more kind of thing? You make a statement. The Chicago Cubs. I don't have your voice, of course. If you haven't, I have a horrible voice. But you know, you make a nice clean lean statement and let the visual.
There's nothing I'm going to say that's better than guys like you celebrating on the field and the natural moment of that. And then you have our camera guys and girls going in with the mic on the camera, and I'd rather hear people's natural reaction down there. And if I'm yelling over the top of that because I feel like I want to make it my moment, then shame on me. I think that sucks. You have to be bigger than that.
I have complimented you in the past. One of the great moments in sports broadcasting history, and that sounds hyperbolic, but at least in my lifetime, was you honoring your father with the "We'll see you tomorrow night" in the World Series. Is one of my very favorite things.
Well, I just became a Jack Buck cover band. I just started doing his greatest hits. So the next one is "I Don't Believe What I Just Saw" and go crazy.
I don't know if you should be prouder of that moment or of this one. It is discussed in your new book here. You were watching Brett Favre. Hey, Maurice, did you ever have to pee on the field?
Oh, all the time.
Did you?
I just peed.
What do you mean you just peed?
Just let it go.
Oh, I thought you meant just now.
No.
You do have to, feel free, anybody here, same rule.
No.
What do you mean you just did?
I would either, if I was on the sideline, they would put towels around you, you pee in the little water bottle, but if you're on the field,
you just go.
Somebody's going to get wet. Now, if I have to go
that seems like a weapon.
If I have to go
what you
two,
do is you pee on yourself and have a water bottle and you spray it as you're peeing.
Wow.
Now that's news.
But if
I've
you have
never
to go
heard
number
that.
Two, you have to get off the field and go. You can't go number two in your pants.
That never happened?
That's happened before. Marcellus Wiley. I'm snitching too. Marcellus Wiley did it in the playoffs.
I mean, again, God. I don't think – I mean, it's of course, grotesque.
It
but
is.
On the
it's kind of weird to talk about.
It is weird, but if it's an important enough game, especially if you're a running back, Maurice, no one wants to tackle you when you're in that state.
Great. Well, it's a weapon. I mean, this is competitive advantage.
It is, but it isn't. Like, sometimes And I can tell you this, you overhydrate, right, before the game, especially in Jacksonville. It's 90 degrees, 80% humidity. You're going to be sweating, but sometimes you got to go. And you're right. Every game is important. So you have to just
Every play is important if you're Joe Buck and you're responsible for the play-by-play. You once were calling a game featuring Brett Favre, right?
Do we have the thing? Are you serious? I've never seen
this. Joe Buck. Water during a play. This is a pro's pro, everybody. Take a listen to this call. Joe, do you want to set the scene?
Yeah, I'm like 25 or 26 calling this at Fox, and the half would not end, and we had only 30-second breaks left, and I know the ex-players are like, oh, poor baby announcer, but it was a game in Milwaukee where the Packers used to play one home game every year. And the booth was nowhere near the bathroom. You had to, like, go over catwalks and through people. And so I couldn't get to the bathroom. And I kept going, I've got to go. And somebody handed me, like, one of those little water bottles.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? I just slapped that away. And there was a girl in the booth. I said, you're going to have to leave. And I had a parka on, and it was a trash can like that with a bag in it. And I so now the break happens, and stage fright hits, and I can't go.
Oh, wow.
And because I've got people around me, and right. Now I start with like 10 seconds left coming back, and we came right back from break, and the first play after the timeout, now I'm going, and then bango.
Midstream, take it away, Brett Favre and Joe Buck.
In the flats, it's sharp. Touchdown, Packers.
And then I finished.
Did the does voice inflection affect anything? Is there a connection between, you know?
I kept it within the can. Let's say that. I didn't miss. Even though in the flat, touchdown. I maintained my focus.
Mr. Joe, you got to let that thing fly, baby. You can't get stage flight.
Yeah. You can never play in the league, Mr. Joe, if that's the case.
Yeah, you got to let that thing
when
go.
When you have to go to the P test, that guy is like this.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many things keeping me out of playing in the league. Being able to pee on command is really low on the list.
Wow. It's tough. A lot of people can't perform under pressure.
My esteem for you as a man is soaring now. There's no indication. I mean, that was a Joe Buck call, any other.
Real quick, so how short are the halves? I mean, I went to the bathroom in London and came back, and the game was already started.
Oh, that's good. I'll do that to Aikman because Aikman's standing there, and he's deadly afraid of, like, me going to the bathroom or jacking around back there talking to somebody and not being there, and then they kick off, and he's like, I don't know what to say, so I'll just hide and wait. And I wait. I can hear him counting 5, 4, 3, and he's looking around, and I come in. I'm like, oh, here's Mason Crosby to kick off.
That's the worst feeling ever.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I came back, and I'm like going down the stadium steps, and I look, and they're already on the field snapping the first snap. I'm trying to get around people because in London you have to go through the people to get to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is too much.
I would imagine.
It's crazy.
And I would assume the food at – I've never done a game in London. I would assume the halftime food's terrible.
No. They do American food.
They do.
Yeah, they cook it all the way through. It's nice. You didn't know they don't cook their food all the way through over there?
Is that right? No, I wasn't aware of that. No, I'm not the world traveler.
No, they ice either.
No ice.
Ask for no ice. You don't get no ice.
That I do know. Yeah, I know. If it's 103 degrees outside, they still don't
– Yeah, they say y'all Americans, y'all ask for too much ice. Like, well, I can't get no cold water? No. Temperature.
This is room temperature.
All right, let's get to this. I do want to talk about your father, though. I mean, I something else I've said to you before is, you know, obviously one of the iconic voices in baseball play-by-play, but people forget that, or a lot of people may not be aware, he was a great football play-by-play guy. I used to, my days of driving from Pittsburgh back to Bloomington, Indiana, where we both matriculated in early January, he was the voice of those playoff games, and I would over the course
and doing it with the other guy who used the word matriculated, Hank Stram.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, he matriculating the ball down the field, boys. Matriculate, yeah. And so he would do the radio, Monday Night Football radio, and then playoff games on radio, Super Bowls on radio. And I thought he was a better football announcer than baseball announcer.
Boy.
Because I think it's harder in the NFL football to place mentally where the ball is. Baseball, it's kind of laid out in a way, ground ball to third, you can mentally think of where that is. But it's you know, the near 40, and he's 2 yards short of a first down, and he was, I thought, fantastic.
That smoky, deep voice.
Well, that was his. By the way, that if we're going to a clip, that was his advice to all kids who wanted to become broadcasters. They're like, Mr. Buck, well, what is it going to take for me to be a broadcaster? Start smoking.
Let's hear that voice right now. You may not know he called this one, but he did, in fact, call the catch, Joe Montana to Dwight Clark.
Montana lines up at the 5, and on 3rd down and 3, he rolls right, looking to throw, and he throws into the end zone. Touchdown!
Excellent stuff right there for the switch of one dynasty to the other.
Just listening to you on TV and a lot of other broadcasters and analysts and just coming into it and making a transition from the football field to this now, everybody say the same, but it's been going on for years. Take your time while you're talking. People get so caught up and want to say so many words and rush everything out. And your pops just took his time and said what he had to say and painted the picture.
Well, thank you. I agree. I got chills listening to that, which is a weird reaction. I don't think I would typically get that, but I did. And first of all, he probably was taking his time because the radio booth is usually wedged in the corner. He's like, who the hell caught that thing? And he's like, Dwight Clark. But, yeah, you're right. Any advice I give is to people getting into this business is there's always going to be time on the back end of a play like that to – either get more information out, analyze it, whatever it is. But for that moment, like we said, say the call and just kind of get out of the way and let that moment resonate.
Let's do this then. Let's critique Joe Buck, you know, one of the voices or perhaps the voice of the 21st century sports. Maybe you could critique our pal Maurice here, and you could give him some tips here.
Let's go.
All right, let's take a look, listen to one of Maurice's recent calls.
Benny Cunningham in for 3rd down. Play clock at 1. They get it off where they set. No flags. Throw to the end zone. Tavon, he brings it in far side of the end zone. Tavon Austin brings in Jared Goff's first professional touchdown throw.
I tell you what, man, that was a heck of a throw under pressure. The clock coming down. You have Benny Cunningham going in trying to get the call to the offensive lineman. Jared Goff does a great job of changing the protection to a full protection with the tight end blocking and the running back. They put Tavon on a corner route, the similar route that he scored in against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that zero defense. And what a throw. What a throw by Jared Goff over the shoulder. I mean, great catch where only the receiver can go and get it.
Buck, I want to say something to you before you say anything. Ike is very pleased with his friend Maurice's call on that one. I think it was well done, but I want you to say something. I want you to understand, Buck, we have one rule here.
No jive.
66. No jive. Maurice is a grown man. He took plenty of pounding physically in the NFL. He can take the emotional. Right. Well, he can take whatever emotional scars that you cause right here.
I'm ready.
Now. Go ahead and say it.
I would have, if I were grading that, I would say it was an A. I don't know what more you would want out of a radio analyst. I will say this. I think NFL analysis has gotten so technical sometimes that when you just throw out there, you know, just like he did against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with that zero blitz. There's maybe half of a person in the world that knows what the hell you're talking about.
Right.
So we will do that a lot of times at Fox. You know, you'd have early days was Glanville up there doing different demonstrations, and then Madden would get up and go, what the hell are you talking about? You know, you got a big guy with snot hanging out of his nose chasing down the quarterback, and he dropped it in. So I would say technically it's fantastic, and you get right to the point, but it's almost too good. You know, you could dumb it down a little bit for people like me that go, oh, yeah, the Tampa Bay game and the zero blitz. Okay. But that's just words to me.
Right.
I would just focus on how good that throw was. And like your play-by-play guy said, it looked like the penalty probably should have happened because whoever that was, Cunningham or somebody, wasn't set at the snap. But I thought it's great. I mean, you're past needing any criticism.
Yeah, you know what? The thing too is that puts Maurice ahead of most of his peers at this point is at some point in the last, I don't know, 5 or 20 years or so, it seems like local football analysts have taken on the they're supposed to literally hoot and holler when play. Yeah, you hear this old offensive lineman. Yeah, run. What? What are you doing, man? That's I don't think that's your role.
No, I agree, and you hear it a lot of times in play-by-play guys. You know, if you had a knife, you just jab it in the guy's thigh because you're going, at the 10, at the – yeah, look at him! And you cut into the other guy. You know, there's like we said, there's always going to be time to get that out. And even if you didn't jam that in before the extra point, you can come back to it and go, you know, I just want to talk about that touchdown. It's the first one for Jared Goff. Here's what he deciphered, and here's what made that touchdown so great.
Quid pro quo. Now, Maurice, you get to critique Joe Buck. Let's take a look at a Joe Buck call.
Pressure from Thomas off the edge. Eli Manning stays on his feet. Airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree. Inside the 25 and a timeout taken.
That was a weird game.
Oh, man. Just like your dad.
Thank you. I get a lot of crap for that call.
Why?
Why?
Are you serious? People go, you sound like you're so dead-assed on that call. And I'm like, hey, here's the headset. Go get them. There's 120 million people watching that game. It's the fourth quarter. It's the Super Bowl. First of all, you could barely – I thought Manning was going to be sacked.
Right.
And then he launches it, and all I see from my – and this is me making an excuse maybe, but it's true – I see a bunch of arms and a ball and a helmet, and I'm not sure that he caught it. And if I'm going, oh, my God, what an unbelievable – it's incomplete. Never mind. You have to be sure that what you're seeing is right. And, you know, as great as the seed is, man, you start launching yourself out there, it's going to be embarrassing if you're wrong.
That's funny, the pulling the curtain back, that you're trying to figure out what's happening in there, because my assumption is that you as a radio guy and a TV guy, you're lucid that what medium you're working in that space, and you can see what's happening. I don't have to articulate
it. Yeah, it's different than what he's doing, and your play-by-play guy would have been, you know, and whoever, Tyree makes the catch at the 23, where he's, and now Tom Coughlin's on the field calling. That's all stuff I don't have to say.
Maurice, go ahead. What do you think?
No, I thought it.
Go ahead. His Give job it a grade. Start out with a grade.
No jive, man.
No jive. No,
no jive.
Jive.
It's a no jive, too.
And I'm going to be honest with you, just because I've been in those stadiums where the radio booth is on the far side. I don't know if you've ever – in Arizona. That was in Arizona,
right?
That was
in Arizona, yeah.
Yeah, their booth is all the way – when we were there, it was all the way on the one side.
Well,
of the
I don't have that excuse.
You don't
I've
have that?
I've got the best seat in the house.
Really?
Yeah.
That was TV or radio?
It was TV.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, hi. I'm Joe Buck. I do.
Nice
I work
you.
At Fox.
Well, no, you just did radio. I know you do TV, but I thought you did radio.
No, that
know.
Was TV.
Oh, that's
so.
Awesome.
There's times you can lay out
then.
And let it.
Well, yeah, it's different then because radio, you have to describe it through and through. When someone's watching, you don't have to describe the whole play. I mean, it is what it is.
Oh, so he's the JV, in other words. It's easy.
No,
to
no,
do with
no. It's not.
No, radio
it is easier.
Radio, you have to paint that picture.
You have to. Yeah, you.
It is easier. TV is way easier than
I would
doing
think
radio.
So. Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, you've got everything laid out for you. I've got 15 monitors in front of me. It's easier.
Yeah, we saw that this weekend with Lynch.
John Lynch?
John Lynch was next to us, and they were doing the Patriot. And he had all the TVs.
Great life.
This is all you get. This all you
life.
Get on the. On
I
the,
know.
It's and it's, you're tucked to the side, and you have a small booth. But
it is. It's like people do at baseball. It's like doing major league is
it's
easier than doing
Bowl,
minor.
Man.
League.
It's a Super Bowl. You can get an F and it's still an A.
Yeah.
So I'll give you a B plus.
Or you can get a B plus. Well, then
solid.
I'm changing your grade.
Change it. No dive, babe.
We
change
barely even got.
No, I gave you an A.
We barely even got into what all the stuff I wanted to talk to you about. Fast action. Troy Aikman or John Smoltz, who would win in a fight?
Aikman.
Aikman wins that fight,
yeah.
Really? Who's better at golf?
Smoltz.
Who's more handsome?
Aikman.
Okay. Joe Buck's third favorite sport. We know
hockey.
Baseball and football. Is that right?
Yeah.
You're a Blues guy.
I'm a Blues guy. It's
really?
One sport I can actually openly root for.
Bernie Federko and
Bernie Federko and Gary Unger and all those guys.
And John Hamm. Those roots run deep in St. Louis.
Yeah, but the difference
is
Hamm is like an L.A. Oh, I'm wearing a Blues hat.
No,
shut up. I'm a season ticket holder. He gets seats handed to him the days he shows up in St. Louis.
True enough, but he can have a legitimate and deep conversation about 1980 St. Louis Blues, Lee Ute, and so on.
He's my guy.
Yeah, excellent. Well, you're our guy, or at least we'd like to think so. The great Joe Buck. Everybody,
buy my book.
Yeah. Oh yes, buy the book.
Buy his book. I'm gonna buy it and read it now.
You should.
I want to be like you.
All
right. Lucky bastard. My life, my dad, and things.
I'm not
allowed
to
say on
TV.
And
really, you can't say stuff on TV. Say whatever you want on TV.
You're Joe Buck. No.
You had your own HBO show.
There's no time. Yeah, I did have an HBO show.
You did.
I got Artie Langed.
I watched it. Yeah. Or you got Bill Simmons.
Oh boy,
we could really go in on that for another 20 minutes.
I lasted more in the calendar year, longer than Bill Simmons.
Competing, but that's what I like.
I only did three shows because they were 4 months apart.
That was a strange –
it was weird. That's another – we can do a seminar on that.
Is that covered in the book?
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm definitely
reading it.
Yes.
Oh, you know what we didn't have? It's too bad. Ike Taylor wasn't just a pro football player. He also is great at the game of life. I thought maybe some relationship advice would be in order here. He does Dear Ikey, but you'll have to come back another time. Maybe you could bring
I stalked my wife, and I was either going to get a restraining order engaged.
Dedication.
I wouldn't let her go.
Dedication.
I wore her down.
Dedication.
That's how you're supposed to do it.
Slow burn.
It's a beautiful love story. I hope also covered in the book.
Oh, that's in there too.
Lucky bastard, my life, my dad, and the things I'm not allowed to say on TV. The great Joe Buck, everybody. That's it for us on the Dave Dameshek football program. We'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce for you in front of the Week 14 games. We'll tell you who's going to win all of those. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans.
It's been a thin slice of heaven.
Oh.
Said everything.